So a couple weeks ago, when I gave the sermon, I started off with a little preamble about sermons and about preaching in general. But I failed to turn my mic on for that part of the sermon, and afterwards people told me that they got quite a bit out of it and asked me to record it separately. So I'm going to record this part of my teaching that came before the teaching on Daniel about the golden image. So what I want to talk about in terms of sermons is quite simply what it is we are doing when a preacher gets up to preach and when we listen, when we come to a service, or whether we're listening to a sermon on YouTube or what have you, what preaching is, what it's for, why we call it preaching as opposed to teaching, just the giving and receiving of information. Preaching is somewhat of an unfortunate word now. Nobody likes to be called preachy. It's fallen somewhat into disrepute, but it's still the best word we have to describe what we're doing, because preaching is a unique experience to both receive a sermon and to give a sermon. It's not the same as teaching. It will entail certain aspects of teaching, like the giving and receiving of information, but it really isn't the same thing. And so it's good that we have a word that differentiates between the two. So what is preaching then? What is a sermon? I mean, what are we doing here when we come to church on Sunday morning and myself or some other pastor stands up to, as we say in Christian lingo, to give the word, to preach the word of God? And what exactly is happening there? Well, I would argue that there are two things that are happening, two main things. There's probably quite a number of things going on, and I'm sure there are different ways to elaborate on it, but in my point of view, there are two primary things that are happening that sets preaching apart from what we think of as teaching. Now, the first thing is very personal and rather intimate, and that is worship. And there's many different ways to worship, and we do a lot of them on Sunday morning. We worship in song, we worship in communion, we worship in fellowship, and all the ways that we give thanks and praise to God and see God in our midst is a form of worship, prayer and scripture reading and so on. And the sermon is no different. And part of what happens during a sermon, if you're listening to a sermon appropriately, in my view, in the way that God would have us listen to sermons, you're actually listening for God's voice to you personally. You're listening with an ear to God's word for you that may or may not be quite apart from whatever theme or point that the preacher is expounding upon. In fact, in my view, if what is happening is if what's supposed to happen is happening in a sermon, then from time to time the listener will in fact check out and stop listening to the preacher. It'll become like the Charlie Brown teacher in the background. Because what's really happening is you heard a word from the preacher that hit you hard or stuck with you or changed the way you might view something or think something, and you feel compelled to sort of turn that over in your mind or let that sink into your heart or have a kind of communion with God over that concept or that thought or that phrase or that challenging piece of scripture or whatever it may be. And that's a form of worship. Any type of communication with God, any type of impact of God's word in your life is worship. And so at that point, it's perfectly appropriate just to take that in and sit with it for a minute. So it really isn't about in a certain sense, what the pastor is trying to communicate. The point is that really the primary communication is happening between you and God in a sermon, and that's the worship aspect. So that's the first thing that's happening. The second thing is a larger sort of the meta-narrative of what's happening in a sermon. It's something that we experience corporately. And that's more, that's sort of the larger view in that if you think about it, in our culture, we are constantly, we are dealing with narratives all the time. how we live and how we work out our lives and the choices we make all evolve from narratives. And it's that, you know, it's the stories we tell ourselves internally that dictate how we live. The epistemological underpinning of everything you do, you know, why you believe what you believe, and there's various narratives in your mind. And we are bombarded constantly, every day, in movies, books and magazines, and on the web, and everything from Netflix to YouTube. There are a stream of narratives coming into your ears and your eyes and telling you this is the way the world is. Some of it is neutral, some of it is good, and I'd say a good 85% of it is just not of the gospel, is not true, is not reality. And so the sermon is the time we set aside for ourselves, and you know, relative to the rest of the week, it's a fairly brief amount of time to switch the narrative, to hear a counter narrative that runs counter to our culture. And the preacher shouldn't have to try too hard if he or she is preaching from the scriptures, from the gospels, from the Old and New Testament. He or she should not have to try too hard to make his or her point countercultural. It should just naturally flow out of the scriptures, because there's nothing more countercultural than the Word of God. And so it doesn't matter if you remember what the sermon was. I mean, if you're a faithful follower of Christ and you go to church every Sunday, you hear hundreds, thousands of sermons over the course of your life, then of course you're not going to remember them all. The vast majority you're going to forget. You might remember one or two. But that doesn't really matter. You're not trying to take in information and learn it as if you're trying to learn how to do chemistry or physics or trying to memorize a bunch of dates for history or anything like that. You're not trying to accomplish something in that regard. What you're trying to do is get your inner narrative in line with God's narrative and make that your subconscious voice that dictates, you know, how you act, whether or not you'll be compassionate or forgiving as opposed to judgmental, and whether or not you will reach out to people with the love of Christ as opposed to just walking through life apathetically. And those are things that's not information to be learned, that's a narrative that has to be changed. So that's the second thing that's happening. It's just a counter-narrative, sort of the antidote to the world at large that teaches us so many things that aren't healthy for us. So those are the two things. I really do hope that our sermons at Cornerstone accomplish those things. I hope that people hear God's word and worship, you know, hear a word from the Lord and tune me out. That can be a very healthy thing. Tune Seth out or whoever is preaching and hear whatever it is God has to say for you in that moment. The sermon, as it were, just being the spark that lights that fire. So I hope that happens, and I hope that happens frequently. It's certainly what I'm praying for, so those life-changing moments in worship. And secondarily, I do hope that by preaching through God's Word, that together we create a powerful counter-narrative that empowers us to be courageous and to be radically forgiving and radically grace-filled people. That's hard to do. But if that narrative is in place, and if you really know who Christ is, and if you know that you are to follow him, then that really can change your life forever.